What a blessing it is, again, to open the scriptures and to be able to just share some things that God has worked in my heart to communicate this evening. So kind of starting in an interesting place, because what I've been thinking about is something called rules of engagement. And generally, that's a military kind of a concept. But what it does is it talks about the when and where and how to use force. And where there are parameters because of political and kind of universal humanitarianism, let's say, there's been these rules that have kind of been put in place that sort of defines what your abilities are when it comes to engaging with the use of force, and where you can use it, when you can use it, how you can use it. And, you know, I want to take a quick look here in 1 Peter chapter 5. So I think there's a really interesting correlation because, you know, like I said earlier, we're in a spiritual contest. We're in a spiritual war here. And I thought it'd be good to maybe review or understand a little bit more clearly. And not that we're under rules and laws and regulations, but I think there are practices and guidelines that can give us good instruction. And I want to start in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. You can read this for a greater context, talking about elders and what they should and maybe shouldn't be doing. Feeding in the flock of God, verse 2, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, willingly, not for money, but for by of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And it says in verse 4, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Verse 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Very similar type of language given in James chapter 4, where God also deals and talks about the topic of pride. Chapter 4 of James, verse 16, it says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 17, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I guess where I want to go with this thing is kind of maybe being able to give a practical description of what does pride look like? And then what does humility look like? How does humility project itself? Because sometimes we have maybe conflicting concepts, but we do know that having pride is not a real, genuine, godly characteristic. Actually, we want to get it away from us, right? Proverbs talks so much about pride and humility and drawing the comparison. In Proverbs 11:2, actually, you don't have to look there real quick. It says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. And so wisdom gives us that ability to really see things from a different point of view, and not to just assume our opinion or understanding is completely trustworthy. You know, we're willing to receive feedback and even constructive criticism. And so that willingness, and I would call it coachability, the willingness to take advice, to take instruction, to receive constructive criticism, not criticism, but constructive criticism. And so what is this humility that will enable us to resist the spirituality of life, the nature of the enemy who's trying to, you know, bring the attack in so many different ways? And that's maybe why I thought about the rules of engagement, because that's a very well-defined, even probably more well-defined in the senses world, because ours is such a walk by the Spirit. There aren't a lot of rules and regulations and laws, right? But we do have God. And so I want to kind of go through a couple of things here in light of what I've just read. Because here's an example of what pride might say. I don't need help. I can do it on my own. I know what's right for me. I'll show you just how smart I am. Watch me. People are so stupid. If they would only be like me, they'd be so much better off. How about, get out of my way? These are things that sort of project that prideful sort of attitude. But yet, on the opposite of that, sort of the antithesis of that, humility would be coachable. And immediately be drawn to say, God, what's going on? I need help in this situation. And understanding that God's way is really best. Not I don't need help. The opposite is, I need help. And also to understand that not that I can do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. I want God to help me, teach me, and show me, and lead me. So rather than I can do it on my own, it's God, I can't do it on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. And in contrast to what I said earlier, I know what's right for me. And honestly, for everyone else too. God, I need your wisdom. And then we all succeed. I'll show you just how smart I am. Watch me. Well, maybe a different kind of approach on that, a little bit more humble way to look at it, is honoring others is more loving than to attract attention to myself. The fifth one I read, maybe over-exaggerated, but maybe not too far. People are so stupid. If they would only be like me, they would be so much better off. And what it reminded me of is that many verses, but one especially in Philippians chapter 2, which says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, where he humbled himself and became a servant. Not that he had to be exalted, but as he served, then God is the one who exalted him. We don't have to bully people to get our way. We trust God, especially in these situations. How do we resist the enemy? We humble ourselves before God. We cast all our care on him. And that's how we resist. We submit ourselves to God in humility. Humility is a huge topic throughout the Bible. No doubt about it. And so God has called each and every one of us as a member, in particular, of the body of Christ. We need each other. to really achieve the best result. You know what? Humility is our nuclear weapon. The rules of engagement were established in a military context so that people would be protected from nuclear attack. Humility for us is our nuclear weapon. It's the thing that really separates us so that we don't get caught. You know, the pride is the thing that the devil got caught in, right? That's the thing that really got him all twisted up. So a couple more verses here. Again, in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. And it says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Let's have a look at this one. 11:22:4. 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord, by humility and is italicized, by humility, the fear of the Lord, riches, honor, and life. Humility, and this is a must be another translation, humility is the fear of the Lord, its wages are riches and honor and life. And we know that this isn't talking about really like being afraid or terrorized by the idea of God, the way God is. But we have this genuine respect and awe and admiration and have a desire to do it God's way. We fear God the same way a farmer fears living out of step with the seasons. He knows he can't plant in the fall and harvest in the spring. He knows that he needs to store up grain so he doesn't go hungry during the winter months. So, you know, it behooves us to demonstrate a healthy fear of God when we recognize the dangers of ignoring what he says is bad for us and living outside what we might call his created order. And the end result, the fruit of being aligned with God, is life and a healthy relationship with him. And when we allow ourselves, for whatever the reason, to wander outside of those boundaries, we are entertaining the potential for something that really wouldn't be the best for us. Some great things in God's word. How about we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 16? Our rules of engagement start with humility. That's how we're going to win in the battlefield, on the battlefield, day by day. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Resist, and he will flee. How about Romans chapter 12, verse 16? Let's see what King James says. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Another way to see that is to be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You know what? Forget it. That's in Ephesians. That's next. Uh-oh. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people in low position. Don't be conceited. We got a little highlight there of Ephesians chapter 4. We'll go back to that. I'm sorry. Just got so excited. Got ahead of myself here. To be able to live in harmony with one another. To not exalt yourself as some superior being, but be willing to associate ourselves with people of every cultural and social status, and that we just don't become conceited. You know, people in Old Testament and New Testament times, they lived in a society that was very based on a certain type of structure, and it wasn't unusual for people to fall back into the certain cultural things that they had grown accustomed to. And so, you know, the believers who lived in Rome possibly would have looked down on people from the more backward or, let's say, rural areas around Palestine. And so God has to give instructions that there's no status or value based on wealth or worldly prominence, and we shouldn't behave like there is. See, we don't treat each other according to what the class structure is or the society structures. We love with the love of God with a humility, a humility. So, okay, let's look at that verse again in Ephesians. I read it, part of it anyway, before I caught myself. Ephesians 4, verse 2, you've seen it before. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. And so, you know, what's this saying? This is the application of the mystery. Walking in harmony with our brothers and sisters and living out the reality of the mystery. And we put forth our best effort to be completely humble and gentle and patient. Bearing and putting up with one another. Excuse me, here I go. Didn't happen. I thought I was going to sneeze. I still may have to, but. You know, us making the choice to follow Jesus Christ, it really represents a pretty major shift in what our priorities are, right? So we're not willing to put ourselves first anymore. We're called to put the unity of the Spirit first. And so in having the wherewithal and the ability to do that, we have to have a posture of humility and gentleness towards others, even when it means we don't get the recognition that we believe we might deserve. But look at what God had to say about us having a favorable attitude towards others. And now in James chapter 6, chapter 4, I mean, James chapter 4, verse 6. Let's look at that again. James chapter 4. 6 through 10. He gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Another way to say it is, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee. Come near to God. He'll come near to you. Wash your hands, sinner. Purify your hearts, double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord. He'll lift you up. We want God to be on our side and working for us. And not that God doesn't love us, but he wants us to be able to approach him and also to approach life and others with a humility. Not that we know it all. See? That was the devil's downfall. And he's trying to set us up for the same doggone thing. See? And of course, those verses in 1 Peter, again, where we were going to close, 1 Peter chapter 5. Great practical instruction here, huh? In the latter part of verse 5, it says, for God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. You know, honestly, maybe a characteristic of pride is that we keep our cares. And we don't release them. We don't let them go. But God loves us. He wants us to release those things. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about whom seeking, whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. These things are going on all over the country, in Oklahoma, California, Maine, wherever you live. We're in this same thing together, guys. This community of believers, this body of Christ, it's really intended to function with a foundation of mutual respect and submission. See? We honor one another. We don't have to pick apart each other because of the differences. We can honor the differences in one another. And finally, I do want to close with this verse in Micah, probably in the clean part of your Bible. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I'll give you a moment to get there. Probably have to go to the index, table of contents. Mine's on page 1254. We don't go there very frequently, do we? 1254. But there is such a great verse here that I just thought it'd be such a blessing to read together, kind of close off this topic. And, you know, hey, I love you guys awesomely. I just feel like it's just so good for us to review this and to understand about the rules of engagement. Humility, love of God, meekness. And here in verse 8 of Micah chapter 6, to close, it says, "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Father, only you truly know our hearts. I pray that you will forgive us, Father, where we have just chosen to walk in our own ways, in our own path, in our own thoughts, in our own opinions. And that we still do desire, Father, to have your wise counsel and to be in a place of humility and humbleness, and even if that, where we submit ourselves to you, provides the resistance necessary to really see the evidence of the victory we have through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for your love, your care, your goodness tonight. And for all of God's people who are here with us tonight together, in Christ's name, amen.